the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. A very warm welcome to our worship this morning, either here in church or at home. It's good to have you with us. One or two notices this week, just to mention that, of course, you'll know that we're in another phase of transition in regard to the pandemic, and we are, of course, keen to return as fully as we can, as and when it's right and appropriate to do so. Just to say we're waiting for further guidance from the church and the government on what that looks like for us. So just be patient, and we will, of course, let folk know as soon as possible when things change for us. With that in mind, on the 22nd of July, here in church, we're putting on a thing called Telling Our Stories, which is a chance, hopefully, for us to come back and meet face to face and just tell a little bit to one another a little of what's happened to us over the last however many months it is, and just to share a bit of time together and think about particularly how we as a church community have been shaped by what's happened to us since the beginning of the pandemic. That's on the 22nd of July here in church at 7:30, and then just one thing ahead of that. Bells, you know, we had them restored before the pandemic. On the 1st of August, there'll be some folk here ringing the bells properly, so you can probably, where you are at home, hear them between 4 and 5:30, but there's also a chance to come and learn a bit more about them. Perhaps even for those who are slightly nimble, go up to the ringing room and have a go yourselves. So that's just a few things to pass on. Most of them are on our e-newsletter, but I thought I'd mention them this morning. And lastly, I have some bands to publish between Abraham Patrick Mwamba Lumbwe Bwala and Claire Louise Pugh, both of this parish, and between Neil Graham Atkinson and Sharon Dunleavy, also both of this parish. These are for the second time of asking. If any of you know a reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now.
As we prepare to celebrate the mystery of God's love, revealed in word and sacrament, let us call to mind our sins. Father eternal, giver of life and grace, we have sinned against you.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
From the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined for us adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of the healings and other miracles, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. and Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you.
May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Russia is a country that's always interested me. Perhaps it was because it was a land of mystery behind the Iron Curtain when I was growing up. Perhaps it was the movies or the storybooks. Whatever it was, Russia interested me as a country and still does, I hope, to visit one day. That interest was rekindled recently watching, and here's my visual prop, watching and reading Jonathan Dimbleby's BBC series of 2008, simply entitled Russia. It was made not long after the communist regime came to an end, a time of openness and new possibility. Alas, things have changed since then, and I suspect the same travelogue would be much harder to make now. But it gave a picture of a huge and diverse country, its people and its history. Part of that history was the gulags, those bleak places where dissidents were sent, where writers and poets, thinkers and priests, anyone in fact, who was thought to undermine the authority of the regime. In one episode, Dimbleby visited one of those camps, deserted, but still a chilling reminder of what we can do to one another, what power will do to hold on to power. And history tells us that this example is not isolated, for other regimes and governments, and our own country is hardly blameless, have sought to deal with dissent by locking it away or killing it. And though we might condemn it and wonder why, there is just a bit of us that knows why it happens, of how we sometimes struggle to deal with those with whom we disagree, of how there is a bit of us that would happily not speak or engage with those people who annoy us or who make us feel uncomfortable, something, I think, to turn to the Gospel John the Baptist could and would do. He was an unfashionable figure. He was awkward and difficult, a wild man, I imagine, with penetrating eyes who spoke the truth, who spoke of repentance with a directness that made people feel uncomfortable. He made Herod feel uncomfortable, as this morning's gospel reminds us, telling him, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herod locks him up, knowing that he spoke the truth. Only to be beguiled by the dance of Herodias's daughter to promise in a drunken stupor, I suspect, anything she wanted. She asked at her mother's prompting for the head of John the Baptist, and there ends his story. The troubling truth-teller is dealt with. We cannot fully imagine Herod's inner thoughts in the days that followed, just as we cannot imagine how those who ran the gulags or the concentration camps felt as they killed their neighbour and treated them so cruelly. But we can know enough within ourselves to believe it happened. For we know how we feel when we are threatened, of how when we disagree with someone profoundly, anger is just beneath the surface. We know we would rather push away that which frightens us than have to take it seriously. And whilst we should rightly recognise within ourselves and the society in which we live some boundaries for what acceptable speech and action is, history tells us, John the Baptist's story tells us, what we can, as I've said, sometimes do to one another, how we can demonise the other, how we can label and condemn. And if we can label someone, then they become an easy target. That labelling was certainly around in Jesus' time, and part of what made his life so offensive to others was that he broke barriers that separated people, whether it was with tax collectors or prostitutes, Samaritans, or even women. Jesus, by example, spent time with those whom others had labelled and pushed to the fringes of society. I imagine that he shocked even his closest friends by his words and actions. I imagine that the disciples were not some harmonious group of like-minded people who all agreed with each other all of the time. Instead, knowing what we are like, it seems much more likely that there were voices of dissent and disagreement as they tried to understand what following Jesus meant for them, of how they were to live in the world open to those whom they had once labelled and dismissed. Just think of Paul's story. And that journey for them finds echoes with us, particularly at this moment in time when it seems to me that we are often good at holding our own opinions and offering them to the world and less good at listening, labelling those with whom we disagree, putting them into a kind of gulag in our mind, for they have nothing to say to us. And though this can be about the big issues and ideas of our time, it's also lived out amongst us here at St. Mary's and in the community in which we live. And the inspiration for this way of living finds its focus in the hospitality of the table which we are gathered around this morning. A table connected to Jesus in the upper room where his friends were, no doubt talking and disagreeing, trying to make sense of what he was doing, passing around bread and passing around wine. And we are the same, trying to make sense of where and how Jesus is at work amongst us, even in those with whom we disagree, who challenge us and might just make us feel uncomfortable. For I believe that we are called to fashion together a community around a table where we can use some other words of St. Paul, speak the truth in love, in the midst of a sometimes confusing world, a world which has and still does create gulags of one sort or another, where increasingly we are seduced into binary positions of right and wrong, where grey, the colour of the liberal-minded like me, seems so out of fashion and not always an easy place in which to live. For it's easier to know who we are and hold our beliefs in an unquestioning way, to condemn and label those who are different from us, but gulags are not the way. We do not silence by force and shutting away those with whom we disagree, those who make us feel uncomfortable. Surely, despite all the challenges, it is better to be open, listening, alert, speaking the truth in love, inspired by this big table behind me. A symbol and sign of hope where we are called to be together and anticipate the kingdom for which we pray. A table where we can laugh, cry, talk, listen, learn, confident that our host is always glad to see us. Where there is always room to pull up another chair. Where we come home and join in the conversation. Amen.
Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father,
as we are gathered here in God's presence, let us pray. Lord, we bring to you the church in all its richness, all its need, all its diversity, and all its division. Make us good stewards of all that is entrusted to us, and help us to use our gifts in the service of others. Today, we hold before you the sacristy team and all they do in preparing for our worship. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in the worldwide Anglican Communion, we pray for the Episcopal Church in the Philippines. We hold before you all clergy and lay staff in our diocese. And we remember those being confirmed at Manston today. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we bring to you the needs of our world and the leaders of nations. May they be guided in the ways of justice and peace, so that people may live in a world that shows equality to all and love for the whole of creation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for the families and the local communities represented here today, remembering all who live in Temple Gate Close. Open our eyes to see the needs of those who live around us and give us a desire to help when needed. Today, we pray for the members and work of the Mothers Union, both locally in our branch and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we bring before you all who are sick at home or in hospital, holding before you all who have asked for our prayers at this time. Pat Hyde, Beryl Laverick, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Alan and Mavis Cross, Christine Oates, Jeff Blowers, and Jeffrey Lidster, and particularly any that we know who are suffering from COVID infection. Enfold them all in your loving, healing power, giving them peace of mind, and if it is your will, strength of body. We pray for all consultants, doctors, nurses, and other staff who are treating or caring for patients at this most difficult time. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with those who mourn the loss of a loved one. But we rejoice that in you all ills come to an end and all pain is taken away. We give thanks for the gift of eternal life with you. We remember our loved ones departed and hold before you those who have recently died. Joyce Riley, Edna Jackson, and Dorothy Morris. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, our loving Father, we ask you to keep us and all those for whom we have prayed close to yourself, that we may find in you your love, our strength and peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
Pour upon the poverty of our love and the weakness of our praise the transforming fire of your presence. Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth, for by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image and placed us in the garden of your delight. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law, and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Facing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. He gave up himself for us all. He took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. With favour on your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with Blessed Mary and all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The body of Christ broken for us all. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for us all. Amen. Let us pray. God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forward on our journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You have opened to us the scriptures, O Christ, and you have made yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Abide with us, we pray, that blessed by your royal presence, we may walk with you all the days of our life, and at its end behold you in the glory of the eternal Trinity, one God for ever and ever. Amen. I'm sure that up and down Italy at this moment, masses are being said for the Italian national team before the European Championship final tonight. Obviously, we'll be doing the same. We're rooting for England. I hope we are anyway. So come on, England. But God knows what he makes of it all. But let's hope for a good game and let's enjoy it whatever. God give you grace to become the people he has called you to be, that you may live and work to his praise and glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.